Let's come back together. Everybody doing well?
Doing good.
Good. Before I forget, because I will, as soon as I start moving, yeah, I know, right? Not next week, but the following week, so the 11th of July, is that the right date? 11th of July. The team that just got back from Africa a couple of weeks ago. They will be sharing their trip and kind of letting us know what happened and what is happening and how we can continue to be involved. And so I would encourage you to come and let's fill this place up and hear what God did in Africa, not for the sake of what God did in Africa, but what he wants to do in you. So not next week, but the week after. I need to pray because I'm feeling something here. Thank you, Lord. Just pray that, Lord, the things that are in my spirit right now that I feel that you are blowing on, breathing on, Lord, I pray that I would communicate clearly. Lord, we just submit ourselves, our ears and our lives and our brains and all that we are to you. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah, I have a word for you, it's a short word, and I don't have any idea what it means, but when I was in worship, I saw you on a train, and you were on a track, and there was nothing wrong with the track, and the track was long, and it was good, but I saw God with his hand on a switch to switch tracks, but he was looking to you to know if you wanted to switch tracks or not. And there wasn't a wrong answer necessarily, but it was like I just saw a new track, a new season, so I don't want to add to what that's all I saw was I saw God waiting to know if you wanted to switch tracks or not. And again, it wasn't a bad or good thing. It wasn't like, if you miss this track, you know, nothing like that. It was that timing. And so with that, I want to say this to all of us. I heard the word of the Lord the other day, and he said, the way I heard it, I'm about to open up Alaska to you, and I see some things taking place right now that are putting Alaska really in a really sweet spot, sort of, if you will, like opening up some opportunities for us to move into some new things that we need to be ready for, aware of, and step into. I'll give you one example. I just saw the other day that Sarah Palin is going to be at Chase Church July 22nd sharing that he has Mike Pompeo going to be there as well, and some others, like one or two other, one other person aside from Sarah Palin. And the only reason I brought up about Sarah Palin, I feel like we are sitting as Alaskans in this place where the enemy is trying to bring destruction and shutting things down and causing money to leave and opportunities not to be there. But on the other side of that coin, God is opening up new opportunities and new avenues for us to take advantage of. And so I don't know what that means for you. Don't know what that means exactly for me yet. But I know that if we are caught unaware, you may not see things the way that I see things, but I see life sort of works in a circle, not the circle of life, like what you call it. But what I mean by that is, it seems like there are seasons and times where things come about, and if we don't step into them, it's not that they never come again. It's sort of like the timing comes back around. And in that timing, we have to take advantage of what is in front of us to do, and we can step into new things. And sometimes we kind of halfway do them, and then we maybe don't get the full harvest of a season that we're supposed to get. But I believe that those seasons continue to come around and opportunities continue to arise. And so, wow, I'm just going to take us into something here that I'm feeling in this. So I'll give you some really, like, in my opinion, clear examples of this. When this church was started, the roots of this church are absolutely revival, renewal, reformation, Spirit of God, fivefold ministry. I mean, I believe, I might be wrong in this figure, but I believe Abbot Loop started 84 churches. Does anybody know? Is that right? Around there? Around there, throughout not just Alaska, but I've gone to several states down on the lower 48 and been talking to people. And sometimes it's not that they're going to a church that Abbot Loop started, but they're going to a church from someone who came out of Abbot Loop that they started years later. I mean, Abbot Loop had such a impact on the nation, ultimately the world, kind of pull this a little different direction, but even at, like, Frank Moss, who was the senior pastor of the church from 1970 to 1995, is that about right? He came out of Abbot Loop, was sent here to take over Peters Creek Chapel, started in 1967, and it was just a small meeting. Frank got sent here with his little bitty family of eight children, and actually, y'all probably didn't have all eight when you came here. You had seven, yeah, Jody. Surprise! This is a gift that keeps on giving. I love Jody. I say that with all sincerity. They were sent out of this move of God that was happening not only in Alaska, but literally all over the nation, probably all over the world at different points. But and what God was doing in that time was stewarded to what I believe was the best of the ability of all those who were stewarding it. Were mistakes made? No. I'm kidding. Of course, there were different things that happened. This is not about this church. I'm saying the move of God that was happening in 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s. because I think Abbott Loop started in 1959. But actually, funny story, side note, but I met a lady, cannot remember her name, I'll have to go back and find her name, but I met a lady in California in April who heard where I was from and said, "Do you know Dick Benjamin?" And I said, "Yeah, I knew Dick Benjamin." And she said, "My dad led him to the Lord." Yeah, and I went, "Wow, okay, that's wild." So, like, this whole, which they all came out of revival and stuff that was happening in the 50s and like, crazy miracles. And anyway, so the move of God was being stewarded to the best of the ability of those who were involved in doing it. Then we saw another wave hit in the 90s, mid-90s till around early 2000s, that loads of stuff was happening up here. We saw Brownsville Revival kick off in Father's Day 1995. We saw the Toronto Blessing started in, I think, 94. House of Prayer, 24-hour House of Prayer, Mike Bickle, his started in 1999. The Call started 1999. HODO started 1999. January 1, 2000, we had our first service. Did I say 2001? I meant 2000 if I didn't say that right. But and we were seeing the school, especially Chugach High School, literally just turned upside down. If you weren't here and you've never heard me talk about this, I want to just give you a small window. The Alpha and Omega Club, which is the Christian club in Chugach High School, went from about 5 students to a few more than that. They were in a small classroom. Then they put them in a lunchroom because they couldn't house, the classroom couldn't hold the 30, 40 students that were coming. And then they blew up to 300 students, so they ended up having to give them the auditorium to be in. And then Chugach High School let us do our second youth conference we did. They let us actually start it in the auditorium of Chugach High School. We saw teachers getting saved. There was 500 students that crammed. I think that was the capacity of the auditorium. We couldn't get any more in there. But we were seeing, you know, loads of kids getting saved, teachers getting saved, people just being set on fire for God. And I was a part of that second thing happening. And I can honestly step back and look at where I fell short in stewarding what God was doing. And I have no condemnation about it. I don't feel like condemned or like God's going, "You messed up, you were dumb." Nothing like that. It was more of, let me put it to you this way. The law, Mosaic law, the law that we know, the Old Testament, Exodus, yeah, Leviticus. Okay. That law was all God's idea. What happened with that law was not God's idea. It became man's hand inside of God's idea that ended up becoming a religious thing. You can have the right thing and do the right thing for too long and it becomes a religious thing. You understand? So inside, I can only speak for what happened to me personally, but inside of what God was doing, there were a couple things that I realize now that I made some mistakes in, some of which I don't believe my heart was wrong. I just felt like I wanted people to do things that were right and that were holy and, you know, different things. And so inside of that, my focus began to be really about how you lived, how you walked, what you thought, these things, and their importance. but I missed maturing people into sons and daughters the way that God designed us to be. So let me give you scripture, Galatians 4. Let's go there really quick, and I'll kind of show you what I'm getting at here. Galatians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, who's the heir? It's okay to say it's us. That's Romans chapter 8. It says if we are children of God, then we're heir, co-heir with Christ. And that's Romans. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Let me stop there and explain something to you. The difference between a slave and a child is why you do what you do. Or an heir and a slave. In other words, like this. If I'm a slave or I have a slave mentality, I do what's right because I'm fearful of punishment. If I'm an heir and I understand that it's all mine anyway, I do what's right because I want longevity in what I'm doing. I want to take care of that which was entrusted to me. I want legacy. I want to be able to pass on what I have in my hands to a next generation and the next generation and the next generation. This is why I think it's so bad when we run around and we make everything about the rapture, you know, one day we're all going to get raptured out of this. Thank you. I was going to say hellhole, but I'm just saying that I'm not. Yeah, whatever. I'm. That's the way that people sometimes call the earth, is like this nasty garbage planet, and so. We don't think longevity of taking care of that which we've been entrusted to steward, and therefore we just sort of let everything go and we hold on for the day of rapture. Can I tell you this? Rapture does not exist in the Bible. The word. Being caught up, yes, it does. And I'm not sitting here trying to lay a foundation for somebody to come and go, you don't believe in that. I probably believe a little differently than some of you might, but, and that has to be okay. That has to be okay. If we get so caught up on what everybody thinks and believes about the thing that is the hardest thing to interpret in all of the Bible. Hello? You do realize that the book of Revelation is literally, as far as interpretation goes, is probably the most complex, the most difficult book to actually interpret. And I could very easily sit here and unfold for you how almost 90% of the book of Revelation has already happened. I won't do that to you, but I could. One of these days, you can write this down. I will. I almost did it a few weeks ago. I almost started a series on the book of Revelation just for the sake of stirring things up for you. Anyway, here's my point in this. It's not about trying to be like controversial or anything. I'm trying to prove a point. We get so caught up on who's right and who's wrong that we miss the whole purpose of why we're here in the first place. Especially the Western Church. We are so caught up in trying to prove
how right I am and how wrong that you are, that we miss maturing as sons and daughters of God. And we miss a season of harvest because the cycle, every time it comes around, we get focused over here instead of focused on developing sons and daughters that mature into heirs. Can you put Galatians 4 back up there, just verse 1? I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, in other words, as long as you stay immature, as long as you don't grow up, you have a slave mentality. And if you have a slave mentality, you're ultimately an orphan. Heidi Baker, now I recognize Heidi Baker is not God, but I do value what she says. Heidi Baker says the biggest problem in the world today is orphan, like an orphan spirit, orphan mentality, literal orphan. And she said the greatest cause of an orphan mentality is fatherlessness. I learned the hard way and the long way that I can be really right about something but really be wrong at the same time. If I make my children feel less than because I'm going to prove that I'm right, I'm actually wrong, no matter how right I actually am. Does that make sense? If I crush my wife because I'm going to prove that I'm right because I'm always right, whose side are you on? Just kidding. I know, you're a little closer to her right now. You understand, though, if I stifle and devalue who she is or who my children are because I'm going to prove that I'm right, what did I really accomplish? Translate this a little further. As a Christian man, I come into contact with somebody who believes differently than I do, especially about something like the end times, and I'm going to stomp all over them and be like, you're wrong, and this is that, and pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, tribby-tribby-trib, all this stuff, and yada-yada, and blah, blah. And then they go, wow, I don't know how to back up what I believe, so I guess I'm wrong. And you're darn right you're wrong. I'm right. This is the way God's going to do it. I never went quite that bad, but I'm just saying that must be how it feels. Your opinion's stupid, and it doesn't make a lick of sense, and you can't even back it up. You're so ignorant. You're so dumb. I know because I have all the stuff in my head that you don't want to know. But I love you, and Jesus loves you, and He wants to rapture you. I'm not knocking the rapture, please. I'm really not. I'm not trying to throw rocks at it and tell anyone who believes in post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib, all those things that people believe in. Continue. Do what you want. Like, figure out where you stand in that, and that's good. But don't make everybody else feel stupid. It's kind of like this. This is a little bit of a hot spot, but kids and vaccines. Yeah, well, I'm not even talking about the COVID-19 vaccine. You do with that whatever the Lord tells you to do. Don't worry about what anybody else does. And don't be condemned by anybody else. And stop condemning people if they've decided to do it. Anyway. Or not. Or whatever. Yeah, that it is true. It goes both ways. I'm just saying, I've heard people get so mad at other people because they vaccinated their children and these people didn't, and they like war. It's ridiculous. Like, why don't we shut up, pray, and ask God what we should do and stand on that? You know, I do. You should educate yourself. Absolutely. And there are things that I did, like,
there are things I did as a parent when my kids were smaller in regard to things like inoculations and stuff that today I probably wouldn't make those same decisions, but whatever. Why Josh was only like 5'6" or something. I can't. No. I'm totally playing. I got to tell a story on my oldest. I have to. So, and it's a little bit funny, but I'll give you the reason why I'm sharing this story with you in just a minute. There it is. So, Josh came to me in Sage one time, and he wanted to know if he was little. Yeah, it was like last year. I'm kidding. He was a little kid, and he said something like, "Did you do drugs when you were pregnant with me?" And we were like, "What? No, we really didn't." But no, and he was trying to figure out, like, he felt like something was wrong with him, like whether it was mentally, physically, whatever. It was about how tall he was, I think, at that time, because he wasn't as tall as a lot of the other kids in his, or Christian, but whatever. He found out that, people, because of what we did, we worked with kids and adults with developmental disabilities and mental illness and different things, and sometimes those things are caused by alcohol and drugs and various things, and so there's deformities and things that happen from alcohol and drugs and things, and so his mind went straight to, you guys must have messed me up. He felt like something was wrong with him, and he wanted to know why. So he went on this search of, did you do these things? And but what it made me realize was there's something that he's not happy with himself about, and instead of being happy with how God made him to be, he's looking for reasons why he's not happy, and I'm not happy because of this, but really it boils down to, you're not happy because you haven't figured out that you are a son or a daughter of God. That's what ultimately brings the fulfillment of all things in your life. And if we remain in a place of immaturity and we remain a child, we act like a slave, according to Galatians 4, we act like a slave, and everything that we do is based upon trying not to get punished for what we're doing. Or there must be, like, God must not be happy with me because I'm doing these things or those things or whatever. I want to give you a little test. This is not pass or fail, so you're all right. If you're like me, which I kind of hope you're not, but if you are, did anyone else in this room ever struggle with, like, the way you saw Jesus versus the way you saw the Father in this way? Like, Jesus was sent to prostitutes and tax collectors. Like, he could get down and dirty, not dirty himself, but he could hang out with people like that and it was okay. But somehow the Father, it was somehow like above him, or that's not the right terminology. Like, here's why I'm saying this. I personally was afraid, like, Jesus I was okay with, but the Father to me seemed like, unless I had all of my stuff figured out, coming to the Father was weird. Like, it felt, do you have a word for that? Like, there was a bit of anxiety, anxious feeling of, like, you know, I could talk to Jesus, I did this, this, and this,
And once I confessed it to Jesus and Jesus cleaned me up, then I was able to come to the Father. I don't think I realized this about me until recently, that I had this thing, even as an adult, like feeling like Jesus I could pour myself out to, the Father I had to be perfect in front of. Can I tell you what that is? It is a level of immaturity. It is an orphan spirit that makes me feel like somehow the Father doesn't love me like Jesus loves me. So in it, it creates this place of me continuing to act like a slave when I'm called to be a fully mature son who's an heir of it all anyway. And if Jesus can be deal with my stuff, the Father certainly can deal with my stuff because they're one. But it's hard for us to get past this. I'll give you a physical example. If you grew up in a home at all like mine, and some of you might have had the opposite of this, but like as long as my dad didn't know something about something I did, it was okay. But if my dad found out that I did, I was getting beat. Like, B-E-A-T, beat. Hello? Wait till your dad comes home. I've never heard anybody say, wait till your mom comes home. Like, right? Is wait till your dad comes home. And in this physical wait till your dad comes home, it created something in me that I took into my spiritual life that I was unknowingly afraid of the Father knowing something about me that wasn't put under the blood of Jesus somehow. You catching this? Can I tell you what that is? It's heresy. Can I tell you why? Because God the Father and Jesus are the same. So if we think that God the Father is more righteous than God the Son, somehow He's more forgiving, Jesus is, than the Father. The Father's the judge and the mean one, and, you know, I mean, I love Him, and I want to be near Him when I'm clean, but, and so in it, I developed this thing of being a slave without realizing it. So, here's where I'm going. According to Romans chapter 8, we were given the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Inside of us was a seed that was planted in us. The moment we received Jesus, a seed of sonship was planted inside of us. Inside of that seed was everything necessary for me to grow to full maturity of being a son. Kind of like when you plant an heirloom tomato. If you planted an heirloom tomato seed and a peach tree grew, that would be weird. Because that's not what's in that seed. So if the seed of a mature heir son was planted inside of me, and I don't cultivate it properly, I might produce a certain amount of crop or a certain level of sonship, but I stifle it by trying to keep it in a small pot. Or, I mean, if you just take it as a physical thing, if you keep a tomato plant in something too small, it not only will not produce, it will die. But the greater soil, the more soil you give it, the more fertilizer you give it, the more love, the more water, you know, you got to speak to them. You're beautiful and awesome, you big, beautiful heirloom tomato.
I'm kidding. But you understand. And so in that, the seed of sonship was planted in each one of us. And the Holy Spirit breathes on that thing. But if we are afraid to be who we were created to be, or we end up staying immature, God doesn't force us into being mature sons and daughters. Do you understand? He gives us everything we need to actually cultivate it and build it and grow it. And so inside of that, I'm going all the way back to where I started, these seasons that come around in Alaska, in the world, in the nation, whatever, these times and these seasons, which I believe we're coming back into a full season of harvest, if we're harvesting people or crops or however you want to say it, if we're harvesting the season that God put us in and we're doing it as immature sons and daughters, we will create immature sons and daughters. And we will have too small of a container, and we will only reap a small bit of the harvest when God is calling us to be mature and expand our holding container, if you will, making sure that our soil's ready, making sure that we have the water that's necessary. And the way that we do that is by being mature ourselves, understanding fully how I'm loved. Do you know it's more important for you to understand how you're loved than it is even to love someone else? Because you can't properly love someone else until you understand the love that you've been given yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But you can't understand loving yourself until you understand that you're loved without, like, it's not about what I deserve. It's about what was given to me freely. And so, therefore, this is why Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before anything started, before Adam was created on the earth, God did what he did. Jesus took the step he took. Everything was already in place because it wasn't about, we'll see how they do. We've got a plan in place. Let's see how they actually do, if they actually are worthy of this sacrifice. It wasn't like that. It was already done. We're already worthy, but if we don't believe that about ourselves, and we believe the Father looks at us in a wrong way and is always like, yeah, I guess I'll take them. Whatever, Jesus, I'm glad your blood's on them. Whatever, you know, that kind of thing. If we're constantly like that, we're developing an orphan mentality. We're developing slave mentality. We're developing immature sons and daughters, and we're recultivating that in the earth over and over and over, and we stop short this season that God wants to give us, and we're not fully seeing the full impact that we need to see because we're immature. Oh, sorry. That was kind of immature, but okay. You guys still doing good? Are you all right? Okay. Making sure. So, I want to do something here. I'm going to close the service early today. but before I close, I want everybody to stand up. Nobody's getting out of this one. I want us all to just put our hands out like this. And I just want you to receive. And I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to just blow on this seed that was planted in you. And so, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we see over and over inside your word that it's given to us as seed. And that seed is planted in different kinds of soil. so today I pray that the seed of your word would go into fertile and good ground, that it would go deep into the recesses of our hearts, the places that we don't even realize we've either closed off or we have a wrong mentality, a wrong way of thinking. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would breathe life on this seed, that we would see the orphan spirit broken in our time, in our minds, in our children, in our legacies, that, Father, we wouldn't continue this cycle of producing, not producing the fullness of what you want to do in the earth. Lord, I believe that a harvest, a great harvest of souls is coming, and we want us to be prepared as fully mature sons and daughters of God, ones who can plant and water and cultivate, and ones who can do all that you've called us to do, and we're not doing it out of fear of punishment.